behaviour. My parents were very strict brethren, in fact, so I had a very strict grounding in the scriptures, in the Bible. I'm grateful that I was born into a Christian household. But sometimes, you know, people that come to faith not having a Christian faith, it's more dynamic, shall we say. But I came to know the Lord when I was 12 years old. As I said, we belonged to a very strict Brethren church, the exclusive Brethren, and in fact, actually, the school along the road here on the left, which name is Linton Park, isn't it? They have some of their services there, and I think there's another small church down in the Luce Valley, their Brethren as well. My wife came from the more liberal Christian Brethren, but I was in the more exclusive Brethren. And so it was a very strict sort of upbringing. I was never allowed to do anything much on Sunday apart from going to church. Went to church three times a day on Sunday. And I remember thinking, oh dear, it's Sunday, I can't play with my toys. I can't go out on my bike. But I accepted it. It was just the norm, you know. But we did have the gospel preached to us, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And I remember when I was about 12 years old, listening to the gospel being preached. And my heart was stirred and I came to know the Lord. And one of the things we were told to do was to confess the name of the Lord, to tell others that you belong to Jesus. And I remember I just moved into senior school, and I remember actually telling somebody that I belonged to Jesus and that Jesus was my saviour. I was actually petrified, you know, to do that. But I felt such a great feeling when I'd actually done that, to actually confess the name of the Lord. And I can't really remember much about the reception I received. It was slightly sort of weird, but I never really looked back. But, you know, the Christian life is a hills and valley experience, isn't it? You know, that you're up here sometimes and you're down there the next. But I can testify that the Lord has been with me at all times. He's never given up on me. There are times when I've pretty much given up on the Lord. I have to confess that. There are times when I've really been down in the gutter. But I think sometimes that's when the Lord really meets you. And somebody was talking about being carried by the Lord. And, you know, that's what he does. Like the little infant there, being carried, being cradled. And that's what our God, our Father, is like. He carries us and leads us on. So, to cut a long story short, I was a Christian and I met my wife. My wife was in a Christian Brethren church in Sidcup, and we met in, be careful about this, 1974, that's right, we were married in 1976. So you probably work it out that we celebrated our Ruby wedding in April. So 40 years of married bliss. Inverted commas, yes. Yeah, I mean, our relationships with God is a bit like our relationship with our wife or husband or so on. It's a bit up and down, you know. But anyway, we moved to Staplehurst, just a bit further down the A229 in 1980, and that's where my two boys were born. They're now in their 30s. And I've got three wonderful grandchildren who keep me, try and keep me quite young. My eldest grandchild, Zachary, is an absolute football fanatic. Every time he comes around, he says, "Come on, Granddad, I want you to play football with me." And I'm not always feeling like playing football, but he gets me out there and, you know, have a kick around and so on. Now, I said that my parents are Christians, and Judith and I are Christians. We go to the Staplehurst Free Church in Staplehurst. Clues in the name. And that's been a remarkable testimony as well. The church was established in a house group back in the late 60s, I think, 69. And it bought a small building in Staplehurst Station Road just before we arrived. So when we arrived, there were about 30-ish people there. It was quite a small group. But to cut a long story short again, we're now in quite a new building. If you go through Staplehurst, you'll probably see it on the left-hand side before you get to the crossroads. So it's been a remarkable journey. I believe God's been with us, and he's got a lot to teach us as well. But it's so refreshing to come here and see the different way in which you do things. I think I might go back and suggest that we have bacon butties and bangers to start with and see how that goes down. We do have actually a cafe that opens on Saturday between 11 o'clock and 2 o'clock, I think it is, which my wife is involved with. So if you're ever passing through Staplehurst at that time, do pop in and see us. So, I'm a Christian and so on, obviously, but my two boys and my grandchildren, they're not Christians. They've decided to reject all that. My two sons grew up in the church, but for one reason or another, they've rejected Christianity. Of course, I believe that the seed has been sown in their hearts, and our daily prayer is that they will come to faith in Jesus Christ and know Christ for themselves. We must never give up on our children, our friends, neighbours, and so on. Anyway, that's just a sort of a potted history, really, of where I am to date. So we've come here really to share with you what the Lord is doing through the work of the Gideons. And it's interesting to see that most of you have actually heard of the Gideons. I guess that there's probably a wide range of knowledge about the Gideons. Some of you perhaps have just heard of the Gideons. Others know quite a bit more about the work of the Gideons. So I hope that by the time we finish this morning, that you'll know a bit more and be enthused to take some literature home with you and consider supporting us and so on. Just by way of introduction to the Gideons started in 1899, actually, in North America. There was a guy called John Nicholson, and he was 12 years old when he promised his mum that he would read a little bit of the Bible every day. And he kept that promise as a young 12-year-old. He kept that promise, and he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Saviour, and he believed that the Bible is the Word of God. And when he left school, he became a traveling sales representative. So he would go around the hotels and so on, and he met up with two or three other people, and they formed the association which we now know as the Gideons. Originally, it was really just an association for Christian support for people in similar situations as John Nicholson. So to give support, really, to Christian salesmen and Christian businessmen. And it wasn't really till 1908 that the idea came that as they used hotels quite a lot, they would actually put Bibles in hotels. And you may be familiar with that yourself if you've ever been to a hotel or a guest house. You may have seen one of these in the locker. So although Gideon's began in the United States over 100 years ago, and actually in this country it started in 1949, and in the Maidstone Group, this is our 40th anniversary year. And our annual Friends Day is actually to be held on the 12th of November at Addington Baptist Church, and all are very welcome to come to that. People's lives are being changed and transformed by an encounter with Bibles and Testaments placed by the Gideons. And we're going to show you a short film about the work of the Gideons. It's about 7 minutes long. But before we do, I want to just share with you a typical testimony that is received at our headquarters. It's entitled "The Bank Robber Who Encountered God's Word." Abdul was born in Ghana. His father was a spiritualist, and Abdul was initiated into his father's religion. The boy dropped out of school at a young age, began running with a gang of criminals, and became an armed robber. Abdul's life of crime caught up with him when he robbed a bank in Kumasi, Ghana. The authorities apprehended him and sentenced him to life in prison. He was routinely transferred from prison to prison because he was considered extremely dangerous. One day, a group of men visited Abdul's prison and distributed Bibles. Abdul took one and he started tearing out the pages to wrap up the marijuana that he was taking. And one of the other inmates said, "You know, you shouldn't be doing this. It's not right. You should do this." And this other inmate was a Christian. And he took him through the Bible, the Gideon Bible. And through the Gideon place scripture, he presented the gospel to Abdul. And Abdul surrendered his life to Christ. Months later, he was released from prison for good behavior. Today, Abdul serves in security for that same bank he robbed and shares the gospel with unbelievers. Let's have a look at the DVD. Thank you.
Every hour of the day, every day of the year, in nearly 200 countries, members of the Gideons International seek to win the lost for Christ as they place and present God's Word.
My family didn't have any connection with church or God or faith or anything like that. First started thinking about God and religion was through school. There was a special assembly on, and if we wanted to, we could choose to go to that assembly. There was somebody there from the Gideons, which I'd never heard of, never come across before. There was some sniggering, but he wasn't fazed by that at all. He talked about what the Bible meant for him. He just said, "If anybody would like to have one of our Bibles, we'll gladly give you one. You can take it away, and I'd encourage you to read it." What was to lose from taking away one of these little red books? I was a bit embarrassed about having a Bible, that there wasn't one in the house. I didn't tell my parents, and I saw at the front there was a little space where you write your name, so I wrote my name in the Bible. And I found the reading plan. I'd read it when I went to bed, and I would wouldn't put the light on because I was worried that my parents would see the light under the door. So I would read it by the light coming in from outside. I had a lamppost outside my bedroom window. My best friend at the time was a guy called Mike, and what I didn't know about him was that he went to church, and what he didn't know about me was that I was reading a New Testament. But then eventually it came out, and Mike invited me to a special event that they were having at their church. So on the Sunday morning, the preacher was speaking, and as he was speaking, I suppose the penny started to drop. And at the end of the service, if anybody wanted to make a new start with God, they could commit their lives to Christ. I went forward, knelt down, and he led us in a prayer of commitment. And I look back at that time as the time when I made a definite decision to follow Christ.
As a young child of three, when my father left the home, when my parents divorced, it broke my heart. I became quite unhappy. And by the time I was 15, I was taking drugs and drinking a lot of alcohol. And I dropped out of school by the age of 25. Just really thought, what's the point of living? And I decided that I wanted to end my life. My mum lived up north and had a small hotel up there, and she said I could stay in one of the rooms there. I stopped off on the way to see my brother and his wife. My sister-in-law began to tell me about Jesus. There was a little conflict going on in my head, you know, what if this is real? What if it isn't? What if it is? So I said to my sister-in-law, what do I do? She said, we just pray. So that's when I got down on my hands and knees and I prayed and I asked him to forgive me. All I can say is that I was filled with hope. I left her home to go up north to stay at my mum's hotel, and I ended up in this hotel room, and I sat there and I saw a Bible. At the beginning of each Bible that's placed by the Gideons, there's helps in every situation or any circumstance that you're going through. As I was reading the Bible, God led me to scriptures that he knew that I needed. It was as if God was just sat there next to me on the bed, speaking words of love and peace straight into my heart. If that Bible hadn't been there in that hotel room, I don't really know whether I'd be here now.
I was the only kid in my class that didn't have a real mum and dad at home. And when I discovered that, I was so worried. And my way of dealing with that trouble, that anxiety, was to make some bad choices. By the time I was 17, I'd been arrested and found myself on remand in Dorchester Prison. I thought to myself, what have I done with my life? I'd filled my life with darkness. And I felt the only escape was to kill myself. So I made a rope out of a sheet on the bed. And it was at that point of trying to commit suicide, at the very verge of leaning forward, it felt like an invisible hand reached out of nowhere, gently yet firmly, pushing me back against the wall, taking the noose off around my neck, and lowering me slowly yet gently to the floor. I didn't know it then, but a group of Christians from a Baptist church in Bournemouth had been praying about me. They'd read my case in the paper. They dared to believe that God could hear and answer their prayers. I was put into a cell on my own, and there I was locked up for 23 hours a day. I had nothing to do. I was bored out of my head. And then on the floor, I saw a book. I picked it up out of boredom. And it turned out to be a Gideon Bible. And I began to read the gospel. I read that there was a God in heaven that loved me. I got on my knees and I cried out to God. Christ came into my heart. I was locked up inside a prison, and yet I was the freest person in that prison. It was fantastic. Jesus has made the difference.
Members of the Gideon's International place over 85 million Bibles a year in schools, colleges, universities, hotels, hospitals, prisons, armed forces, uniformed services, and many other areas of everyday life.
Here's a scary thought. What would have happened if I hadn't read the Bible? What would have happened if the Gideons hadn't placed a Bible in my prison? What would have happened if people hadn't prayed for the work of the Gideons, maybe given finance to purchase scriptures to put inside prison.
It was only because someone from the Gideons came into my school and gave me a New Testament that I started to read it, and it was through that that I found faith in Christ.
I was just very grateful that that Bible was there when I needed a Bible.
The prison officer said that I would die inside prison, that I'd be buried within the prison walls. That was my lot. That was my destiny. And yet I read the pages of a Bible and everything changed.
So what would have happened if those Bibles hadn't been there at the time? You know, we're not Bible distributors, basically. In fact, our main aim... Sorry, I'm a bit too close to this, aren't I? Our main aim is to win men, women, and young people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our method is to reach people for Christ by personal witness, by just talking to people about Jesus Christ, and by placing and presenting Bibles and testaments in the main streams of life. And although Gideon's is a worldwide organization, we are a non-denominational extended arm of the church. So we're really an extended arm of this church. You can't get into all the places that we get into. But we're Christians, we're members of our local church. But the Gideons are all, so we're all members of our local churches. And the work in the community is dependent on the support of churches like you, our friends, and individual members, without which it just wouldn't be possible to carry on the work that we do and place scriptures at bedsides in the hospitals and hotels, as well as in care homes and so on, prisons, and many other places where there is an opportunity to do this. Why do we do it? Well, the Bible is the living and active Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. That's what Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says. It's also God's handbook for our lives. Psalm 119, that well-known long psalm. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It deals with every experience in life. It gives advice and help, instruction and warning, comfort and hope, correction and direction, predictions and promises, everything you need to live your lives, to live my life. Sorry, I should use that, shouldn't I? Is that... There we are. The unique thing about Gideon Bibles, as you saw on that short film, that they have helps and guidance in life at the front of the book. And we do actually have some of these, which are available at the table at the back. That's the only thing we make a small charge for. It's £1. And that actually does have all the helps that are in the front of the Bibles that we give out. What we do? Well, we place God's word in all major traffic lanes of life. Last year alone, we presented and placed over 92 million scriptures throughout the world. Obviously not just me. not in from Maidstone, but throughout the world. That's in 200 countries throughout the world. And they are placed in hotels, hospitals, care homes, and presented to students at schools and colleges. Since 1908, 2 billion scriptures have been placed and presented in this way. In fact, the 1 billionth Bible was actually placed in a hotel Bible in New York the day before the Twin Towers were hit by those aeroplanes when so many people lost their lives. And it only took 14 years for the next 1 billion to be placed and presented. So over 2 billion have been presented since 1908. And if it was only 14 years for a billion, so perhaps the next billion will be placed and presented within 7 years. It's great, isn't it, to know that God's word is active and living. And, you know, just as those people witnessed to the fact that the Bible was there at a crucial moment, shows how important it is that the Bible is available to everyone. It's nothing to do with us. The Bible speaks for itself. And one of the wonderful things is the fact that the hotel Bible, that Bible there, which I showed earlier on, is on duty 24 hours a day, 365 days of the year in hotels. And it has the opportunity, the capability of reaching so many people in their lives. Yeah, hotels. Last year alone in the Maidstone area, about 200 Bibles have been placed in hotels such as Premier Inn at Leybourne, Waterbury and Sandling Premier Inns. Also Grangemore and the Larkfield Priory Hotel and a number of other smaller hotels and guest houses. Now, hotels are very sensitive to public opinion. And if you do have the opportunity to stay in a hotel or a guest house, one of the things that we would encourage you to do is, if there is a Gideon Bible there, congratulate the owner or the management that they have Gideon Bibles there. You see, hotels won't know how important it is to have Bibles in hotels if we don't tell them. There are so many people out there who will try to say that, you know, the Bible is, stopping people and is affecting people badly. There is absolutely no evidence that having the Bible adversely affects people's lives. So if there are no Bibles there, ask them why they don't have a Bible. And one of the things you can do also is to tell us if a hotel or a guest house doesn't have a Bible. We can't get into every hotel because some of the hotels just point blank won't allow us to go in. I came across this quite recently. The largest association of atheists and agnostics in the United States, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, sounds like a wonderful organization, doesn't it? Has written to members of the American Hotel and Lodging Association, whose members run into 33,000 hotels, urging them to remove Gideon Bibles from their bedrooms. They claim that the Bibles promote divisive religious teachings and that many guests are deeply offended by their presence, and suggested that Charles Darwin's Origin of Species should be placed in their rooms instead of the Bible. And the comment is, there are thousands of testimonies of lives transformed through reading Gideon Bibles. Suicides have been prevented. Marriage is saved. The idea that Darwin's book, even if the average person could understand it, could rival or replace the comfort, encouragement and help found in the Bible is absurd. Please help to keep a Bible in every room. It could change someone's life. We placed Bibles in bedside lockers in Maidstone Prison and Priority House, and also the new Kim's Hospital at Newnham Court. And we've also placed Bibles in many care homes in the area. Also, last winter, Bibles and Testaments were given to the Maidstone Day Centre and all seven winter shelter venues for use in the packs given out to people coming for help there. In Maidstone, more than 2,000 New Testaments are presented in the 15 secondary schools every year. This last academic year, most of the schools were reached. There's only one or two that we weren't able to reach, not because they didn't want to have us, but because there is so much pressure from the national curriculum, it's quite difficult sometimes to actually get an appointment. But one of the ones we did quite recently was Cornwallis Academy along the road here in May, wasn't it? I think it was May, round about May. We hadn't been able to get in there the previous year. Again, not because they didn't want us there, but just because there wasn't any time to do it. So we had to do years 7 and 8. We normally go into schools and we give out these testaments to year 7 students. But because we hadn't been there the previous year, we had to do two lots, didn't we? And presented Bible, these testaments to young people in years 7 and 8. And that was a great experience. And we're very encouraged that the response from Cornwallis Academy, because they really want us to be more involved in that. And so it's great to go into a school where they really encourage us to go in there and share the word of God. We're not allowed to preach, obviously, to school children and so on. But of course we can say what a difference the Bible makes to us. I wonder how many of you remember receiving one of these at school. You still got yours? That's brilliant. So many times, you know, we often wonder, and one of the great privileges is actually giving out one of these testaments to the young people. We get very few young people who actually refuse to take one. So occasionally there are one or two. We don't force them. Obviously, it's a free gift for each of them to take. And so it's a great privilege to do that. But we have to be realistic that not all of them will read a little bit of the Bible every day as we encourage them to do. But so often they take them home and it's a witness to the, like their parents or their relatives at home. And then perhaps in later years they'll discover this buried in one of their drawers and take it out. And so the Word of God is active. And, you know, we get so many testimonies, not only of lives changed at the time we give out these Bibles, but many years down the line, as it were, the Bible comes into its own and changes somebody's life. Last October, three of us went to Invicta Barracks, and when we presented 200 camouflaged and badged testaments to 36 Engineer Regiment. I don't think it's quite the same as that, but recently the new testaments we give out can be badged with the particular regiment of armed forces and also the police as well. So this is a sort of a newish adventure for us, really. In the past year, Bibles and Testaments have been placed in the custody suite of the Maidstone Police Station. About 3 or 4 years, I think it was probably about 4 or 5 years ago, we went along to the Kent Police Headquarters, and we were very privileged to be able to present a complete Bible, a presentation Bible, to the Commissioner for Police and the Assistant Commissioner for Police, and also to present 3,000 testaments like that to members of the police force. We didn't have them all there, obviously, because they're all out on duty, been a bit chaotic if they'd all been there, but we left boxes of them, and we're reliably informed that most of them were taken. Brilliant, yeah. I think it was about 3,500 or something like that, yeah.
From every officer, then was 3,500. Now it's about 4.
But, right. Well, there we are. You know, you've got a testimony there of what's happened there. And I'm sure that, you know, lives have been changed in the police force by members perhaps we don't know about, people reading the testaments for themselves. So that's great. Thank you for that. It's got the Kent Police logo at the front. And we were actually the first in Maidstone to do this. In fact, a lot of other police forces around the country have adopted this. And I believe that there are proposals to involve the Met as well in this, although I don't think it's yet happened. But it's quite likely that we'll be able to get in and make presentations to the Metropolitan Police as well. So, on the 25th of May, we presented 21 badge testaments to the Boys Brigade, members of the Boys Brigade, and 13 to the Girls Brigade. And we hope to present badge testaments to other brigades and the Scouts in the near future. But we need to do more. We need to get into more hotels, which have not yet been reached with Gideon Bibles. We need to keep up presentations to schools. We need to place more in doctors and dentists' waiting rooms and so on. Any other place where the public go. God can accomplish great things through us. The Bible says that we can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. And that's the same, isn't it, for each of us here. If we feel weak and helpless, we know that we have a God, an awesome God, who is able to do far more exceedingly above all that we ask or think. So let that be an encouragement to you. You might ask how you can help us. Well, of course, you can help us by praying for us. We can do great things through the God who strengthens us. And one of the great things that we can rely on is the fact that our friends and churches pray for us. Pray for open doors and more opportunities. Financial support, every penny that you as churches and individuals give towards placing and distributing God's word, goes to giving out Bibles. There is nothing that you can give to us that is spent on administration costs. Administration costs is all covered by us as members. And one of the great ways of saving is just putting your loose change in one of those. And it's surprising how much it can be collected if a lot of people take one of these away and fill them up with pennies and 2p pieces and so on, and give it back to us, and we'll put it to good use. So the other thing is the Bible gift plan. Have I got one of those? You can, I don't know, you quite often will give birthday cards and presents. Somebody might pass a driving test in your family and you might like to send them a congratulations card. So take one of these and you can use this. They're free. And the idea is that you give a donation to the Gideons as a result of giving one of these cards. So if you'd like to find out more about that, see Jill afterwards, and we've got a number of them there for you. Come and find out more at our information point at the back. And Paul and Jill Ledger will be happy to help you. And make yourself known to Yorick the dog as well. Now, Yorick is our four-legged member, if you like. He comes along to our meetings, and actually we take him also to the schools. Quite often Paul comes with us and we go into the schools, and of course the kids just love him. Trouble is then they're more interested in the dog than what we have to say. Anyway, do come and make yourselves known to us. Become friends of the Gideons, and we will give you a quarterly magazine which contains a lot of testimonies and so on about what is happening with the Gideons. And also, as friends, you can actually give out Bibles like this to your friends and people that come to your house and so on. You as friends would be able to do that, just as we as members can do that. We will, if you become sign up to be friends, you can have a quarterly Gideon's News, and it tells you in there how you can get hold of testaments to help you in your witness for Christ. But we also need more members. So if any of you feel that you're called by God to join us to help make the name of the Lord Jesus known through giving out Bibles, then please let us know. So, thank you for listening. May God bless you as you serve him. Thank you.